Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show featuring the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson, and I am joined by two of our three Iowa State University interns who are working here this summer at KHOI. All three are seniors from Iowa State's Greenlee School of Journalism. First, Isaac Beal. We know him as the music guy. Hi, Isaac.
Hello, Greta, and hello to our Local Talk listeners.
See, we taught him how to say that. Isaac's first job was to help our station comply with FCC regulations and scan all of the songs in our music collection for obscenities. Hopefully, Isaac, you've been learning more than just the seven words you can't say on the radio.
Yeah, that was fun at first. There was definitely a lot of music to go through, but I've been a little more busy now that the weeks have gone on for sure.
Okay. And we also have Zach Neuendorf, who is interested in reporting on the arts. Zach, you must be loving the location of the station across from the Octagon Arts Center, close to a lot of interesting sculptures, and around the corner from an interesting yarn bombing experiment at the College of Design Annex.
Yeah, everything looks great.
Okay. Both Isaac and Zach have prepared audio reports for us today, so this is their debut. It's the 1st of June, and as it so happens, our show today is a bit like the Roman god Janus, who was always depicted with two faces, one looking back to the past and one forward to the future. If you time that backward and forward travel exactly 2 days, you can lock in our topics. This past Monday's celebration of past war heroes, and this coming Friday's celebration of the creative life of Ames with Art Walk. Our intern, Zach, here will provide us an overview of Art Walk, and then we have a special guest known to friends and followers as Red, the lead guitarist for classic rock bands and blues bands here in Ames ever since the 80s. Red will be KHOI's special artist-in-residence for the evening of Art Walk, so we're bringing him in today to invite you all down. But let's start with you, Isaac, and your experience on Monday morning. I understand you were part of the stream of humanity that passed from City Hall over to 9th Street and ended up at the Municipal Cemetery, where a ceremony was held?
That's right. The parade and ceremony were put on by the Ames Patriotic Council, and the theme was All Gave Some Gave All. I was honored to be there on the fine morning in the capacity of both citizen and journalist, and have enjoyed putting together some of the audio highlights for our listeners. Henry Kornbach, the president of Ames Patriotic Council and master of ceremonies, kicked it all off.
Welcome to the 2016 Ames Memorial Day ceremonies. A favorite verse proclaims, O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. The third verse of America the Beautiful is not sung as often, but it expresses as well as anything why we gather here today. We gather to honor those who have died in service to our country. Those who died in battle, those who died days or years later from combat or other service injuries, whether physical or psychological. Those who died in captivity or after from being held as prisoners of war. And those whose fate is not known who are missing in action. My name is Herman Kornbach, and I'm serving this year as president of the Ames Patriotic Council. On behalf of the council and its member organizations, we would like to thank you for coming today to join in tribute to our fallen heroes.
Now we have a sample of a patriotic reading done by Jan Schmidt.
One night, when everything was still, I listened to the bugle play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps have meant amen, when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of a sea, or unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom is not free. Thank you.
Those final words of freedom is not free are very powerful, and it rings true to how hard our veterans have worked and those who are currently working and serving us overseas. We wouldn't be where we are today without them. Up next, we have a performance of God Bless America, sang by Jim DeHoet, accompanied by the Ames Municipal Band.
God
bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to KHOI Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City Ames. And currently we are going through some highlights from the Memorial Day ceremony this last Monday, May 28th. Right now we have a very moving and powerful speech done by Jathan Chicoine, who was a U.S. Navy SEAL from 1995 to 2001 and is currently the Veterans Services Coordinator at Iowa State University.
I look around and I see many of you that carry stories and hold experiences and knowledge outside and beyond my own experiences. I have a great deal of respect and appreciation for those who are older than me, because I often see my elders as my teachers. I want to hear your stories because I believe they are important for our younger generations, just as our younger generations will create, carry, and in time share with the next generation their own stories. There's a story that some of you may have heard me share before, but as the story has had a deep impact on me personally, I wanted to share it again today with each of you. Years ago, a friend of mine lost his grandfather, who was a World War II veteran. He was very close to him and loved him deeply. He was with his grandfather in the hospital during his death. Before his grandfather died, he told my friend, "You know, grandson, that love and compassion that you have for me, that love and compassion is something I won't need where I'm going. So you take that love you have for me and use it for those people who still live in this world." It was hard for my friend to hear, but he had made it clear to his grandson that he didn't need his love because where he was going, he would be surrounded by love. He wanted his grandson to use his love for those in this life. That story has become powerful for me because I know how much my friend loved his grandfather. And I also begin to understand how much love his grandfather had for him, and that his grandson could keep that love he felt for his grandfather alive by sharing it with those who survived his grandfather's death. In other words, he was honoring the love he felt for his grandfather by acting in loving ways to the friends and family members who are still living. I thought about my friend's story often over the years since he first told me. In a way, I have used it as my own inspiration in my work as a veteran advocate. When I was a student, sometimes when we would set up a flag memorial with each flag representing a fallen veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, I began to reflect more deeply on what remembering actually means to me, and have come to understand the importance of remembering those who have given their lives in service of our country. It truly humbles me to realize that in some ways we can honor the memories of those who have gone before us in service of our country best by living for and remembering those that serve our country today and those that are currently returning home. So I guess it's those stories that have allowed me to gain deeper understandings of my own journey and my part in the larger story of whom we all are. To the younger generation, I appreciate you being here, and I'm inspired to think that you will be the ones to shape our future leaders.
While that was only a sample of Chicoine's speech, I was lucky enough to hear the whole thing, and it was very moving to hear from someone who's experienced the same things that veterans have gone through, and how much he cares for people and for the future of this country. Now up next, we have some more music for you. It's a medley done by the Ames Municipal Band, which also contains some members of the ISU Marching Band. Memorial Day is a time where we celebrate those who have lost their lives fighting for us, those who have made it back safe, and those who are currently doing so. There were hundreds of people attending the ceremony, and it was a wonderful sight to see the community gathering together on a day like that. To end, we will give one last final salute to those fallen with the playing of taps.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and that report was brought to us by Isaac Beal, one of the three interns from Iowa State University who are working with us this summer. Isaac, it sounds like you really got a sense of what community radio is all about, covering such a community gathering.
Yeah, definitely. It was a really fun day, and it was really cool to see how many people just from around the area, you know, they came to watch and support. So it was a really fun time.
Great. We are now going to turn our sights to Friday, which is the natural thing to do on a Wednesday, and turn our program over to a second intern, Zach Neuendorf, who will tell us what's cooking for this year's Art Walk, happening on Friday from 5 to 8. A reminder to our listeners that Larry Stoltenberg, or Red, of Red's Blues, is coming by in a few minutes, and he's bringing his guitar, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Okay, go for it, Zach.
Well, I've never been to Art Walk, so I had a lot to learn. I was able to round up two organizers of the event to join me for a conversation in the studio. First was Judy Gilger, a co-owner of Gilger Designs, the silversmithing shop on Main Street. Gilger Designs is sponsoring the event this year also. Then there's Andrea Bash, the manager of the fair trade shop Worldly Goods, also on Main Street. She's the co-chair of the Art Walk Committee and started off the interview by explaining what Art Walk is all about. Those who don't know much about the Art Walk, would either of you like to describe what it is?
Well, the Art Walk is an event sponsored by the Main Street Cultural District where businesses in the district host artists in their stores, and we invite the community down to come down and participate. There are some demos, there are some just watching, but most of the art you can purchase.
How long has the Art Walk been going on?
Well, the Art Walk has been going on for 22 years now, and this year is the 22nd year, and it is the largest in both the number of businesses and the number of artists that are participating.
What makes this Art Walk different than the previous ones? What makes it more diverse?
Well, this year we have so many unique artists participating. We have some artists from Meskwaki tribe coming to participate this year. We have a chainsaw carver. There's a henna artist. There's a bonsai and wire wrapping plants artist. There's music, jewelry makers, paper cutters. Actually, this year we also have someone doing miniature horse halters.
And what exactly is that?
Well, those small model scales of toys. And for show, people that have show horses want to have the halters that their horse wore in competition. So that is something she does.
So when and where will the Art Walk be held?
So this year it is Friday, June 3rd. It's from 5 to 8 right here in the downtown. You can come on down, find your best parking spot. We have free parking on the backside of Main Street. There are city lots all around that you can park in. And come on out. We'll be giving away brochures in the stores and around the downtown so you can see where all the different artists are. And this year, with it being going from Duff Avenue all the way over to Wheatsfield, we have a long space to cover on both Main and Fifth Street. So you might have to plan out your route through Art Walk.
Judy, what is your involvement with Art Walk?
Well, my husband and our two sons have been on Main Street for the last 17 years. And this year, we've chosen to be the sponsor because we feel that it's really important for the community to have an opportunity to meet up with such a diverse group of artists. And we try to bring people into our store. We encourage people to come who may not have had their artwork shown at other places. It gives them a safe place to be introduced to the art community. Some of them have smaller projects that they've been working on. We had one lady who came one year who took the butterfly wings. She would get them from Ryman Gardens, and then she would make jewelry with those. So that was kind of fun, and she needed a place that show the public and was able to sell a few pieces. We've had a man who, he and his wife turn wooden bowls, and they thought, oh no, I can't do this. You know, it was too big of a deal. They didn't think people would enjoy them, but they got a great response from people. So we try to bring in as many different people with their creative talents into our store.
This year specifically, what can people expect from your store?
Well, we have a young man who has a hobby of getting into making bonsai trees, and he also wire wraps and makes some really interesting trees. And it's a passion of his. He's been studying it. He he deals with some of the other people that are in the Bonsai Club. And, you know, it's something new and different for him, and it just so happens to be our son.
Could you give a visual description of this bonsai tree?
Right. What he does is he starts out with what would most people would consider a very beautiful plant, whether it's an azalea or whether it's a juniper, and he mutilates it, basically, and he'll put it in a much shallower pot. And there is a technique to it, and there's an art to it. And the wire that he does is he's going to train these branches of these trees or bushes into a work that nature hasn't done it itself. So he's training it, and he uses wire to move and manipulate the branches. And he'll trim it back. And then what it does is it forces the plant, it encourages the plant to have new shoots and new growth. But it keeps miniature. It's a miniature tree. And some of them can last for hundreds of years if they're taken care of.
You use the word mutilate, which is interesting. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, that's kind of dramatic, isn't it? It truly is. It's taking a plant and taking mostly everything that you would consider beautiful about it and cutting it way back. So then it gives the plant an opportunity to sprout out new and interesting branches or leaves. So come down to the store and then let Justin explain it all to you, because he's got it and he's studied and he's enjoying it. And it was kind of cool because he found my father had a book on bonsai and it kind of sparked his interest. So and my father's been dead for a while, but it's just kind of a cool way. He's referencing an old book because it's a very ancient Japanese tradition.
You have a particular philosophy for the artist you choose. Is there a reason why?
I would say yes. I think it's really important for a business to give an artist an opportunity to come into a safe place that they can share their talent. And that's what we try to do, kind of a relaxed atmosphere. It builds their courage or their confidence in their ability, and they have a chance to talk to people about what is passionate about their art.
It sounds like you have an invested interest in up-and-coming artists.
Yes, and I can say that because I have lived with three of them, my two sons and my husband, who is a very diverse artist, and our sons are also. They've got many different areas that they tend to enjoy and be creative. And I just want creative people around me and let them show what they've got so people can see it, because so many artists are afraid that what they do isn't appreciated and accepted. I think it's important as a business owner to give them a place and a voice in the community.
Where does your commitment for the Art Walk come from?
I'm passionate about downtown and anything that we can do and bring more people to our downtown. I'm very proud of it. I've worked, I think, very hard to make it a pretty place to be. And I want people to just know that we have a lot of pride in our downtown. And anytime we have an opportunity to do that, to show it off, I'm there for it.
So how does this event accomplish that?
Because it's a very relaxed atmosphere and that they can go. I think the biggest complaint is that there was so much to see. And it was so much fun that they didn't get to see all the artists. They get to sit on the benches and talk to people. And the benches is another thing that shows the art of the community. Again, it's volunteers that are putting it together. And I just believe in volunteering in your community to give back. There's just no reason not to come down. I just can't imagine anybody not wanting to come and see what we have to offer.
Andrea, have you noticed anything about that?
Well, it is hard to get across the downtown to see everywhere. So you really have to pick and choose where you want to spend your time and what your passions are. But I really encourage everyone to pick out a new artist that they haven't seen, and to also make sure they bring their families down here, because we have great kids activities this year that will be so much fun for everyone to participate and actually have hands-on learning.
You mentioned activities. Could you elaborate on what there will be to do?
Well, I do know that one business is doing quilling, which is the art of paper rolling. I know that there's a paper mache artist for kids. There's going to be a scavenger hunt down here that Duckworth is sponsoring. There's going to be Becca the Balloon Lady. There's going to be interactive music with the Onion Creek Cloggers in Tom Evans Park. And just bringing your kids down to eat their supper, because there's going to be great food vendors throughout the downtown as well. And there's going to be mural painting in here at KHOI.
Is all this information going to be in the brochure that you're handing out?
It absolutely is. Also, when you're looking around seeing who's handing out those brochures, look for the boxes that say Vote for Best of Show here. This is new this year for the Art Walk. We're going to have an award for the Best of Show. It is just for the honor, so there isn't a large cash prize involved at all with this. So if you see an artist that you love and you want to recognize, be sure to take the time to vote for them.
What's your favorite memory from a past Art Walk?
Well, I remember back when the downtown had Tune Into Main Street, and I used to hand out popcorn during that event. I was also on the promotions committee way back then as well, and I looked at the mural that Ursula painted on what was then the Lucalons building and now Bar La Tasca building, and I saw that we were going to be coming up on the 100th anniversary of Main Street being called Main Street after it changed from Onondaga. So that was when we celebrated that and had a big birthday party for downtown and had commemorative glasses made and really turned Art Walk into something special that year.
What did this particular moment mean to you?
Well, it was just part of being in downtown and tying together all the events and the great culture that Downtown Ames has, and that we can celebrate the art on the wall, we can celebrate the music, all in our downtown, and how fantastic of a downtown we have.
So you really love having art and culture in your community.
I absolutely do. Art and culture is a passion of mine. I am a past president of the Ames Community Arts Council. I volunteer in downtown in all different capacities where I'm co-chairing the Art Walk with a bunch of other great community members. I manage Worldly Goods, and that's another great art store. I have a passion about having artists in my store as well during Art Walk, and this year we're going to have a artist for henna body art from India, and we're going to have the president of the Ames Community Arts Council, who's an artist herself outside of our store.
So the henna artist who's going to be at Worldly Goods, why did you choose to have them?
Well, Worldly Goods sponsored a henna class earlier on in the year, and it was very, very popular. And Vina was one of the artists that taught that class. And we just want to expose our community to some of the art forms from around the world and let them be an interactive part of it.
Ames Downtown does allow you to connect with the world.
It really does. We have some wonderful stores down here that touch all different parts of the world and a lot of different artists that have world connections.
You mentioned that this is the biggest Art Walk to date. How has it gotten bigger?
Well, last year we had just over 40 businesses and artists participating, and this year we're to just over 60 businesses and artists participating. And I can't give you that official number because every day we're adding new people and trying to find more businesses to participate. So I won't know until the day we print the brochure.
Where do you find the artists?
Well, we have some businesses that use their same artist every year, and they just know that that's where they're going to participate. We partner along with the Arts Council. I definitely want to mention that they were also a member of the committee. Jennifer, the new director, was an integral role, and you will see her interns volunteering at our event.
If an artist wants to participate, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they could either contact the Arts Council or the Main Street Cultural District, and then they would get put in contact with the committee, and from there, we would try to find them a business to participate in.
Going forward, what's the vision for Art Walk?
Well, we want to continue to have a very strong event. We are very happy to grow it more and more. We would love our downtown to grow more and more and have more businesses to participate. This year, we also have quite a few businesses in the 100 block.
Is there anything else either of you would like to say?
To invite the whole Ames community to come down and enjoy such a great opportunity to see so many different things. Visit your friends, family, come down and have supper, have a walking taco from Wheatsfield, visit Alley Cakes and see their cake decorator at work, the chainsaw carver on the corner, sponsored by Global VetLink. There's just so many great things to see. You should bring your family down and participate. And I also want to especially invite people to come to KHOI to hear the great music and participate in the mural painting.
One more time, when and where is this?
Well, this is Friday, June 3rd, this Friday, and it is from 5 to 8 p.m. on the Main Street and Fifth Street, going from Duff Avenue all the way down to Wheatsfield on Northwestern. And you can get your brochures in the businesses, and we will post it on Facebook right before the event, and we'll be handing them out all throughout the downtown with volunteers.
And this is an event of the Main Street Cultural District, correct?
Yes, the Main Street Cultural District is the sponsor of the event. And I also want to personally thank all the committee members that helped make it possible as well.
Well, thank you, Zach. That was a report from Zach Neuendorf, an intern here at KHOI, talking to Andrea Bash and Judy Gilger, two of the organizers of Art Walk, happening this Friday from 5 to 8. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host, Greta Anderson. I love that idea of bringing the world to Main Street. Of course, we at KHOI will be seeking to bring the world to our door that evening as well with a hands-on mural painting project. And our next guest, Larry Stoltenberg, known to longtime Amesians as Red. Because rumor has it these hairs on your head were once of a ruddy hue.
Yes, I've got pictures I can show you, too.
Okay. Red, you are legendary, as I understand. You've been playing in Ames in Central Iowa for decades now. And so we are deeply honored that you've agreed to play at our venue on Friday evening and also to come here this morning and share some stories and song. So you mentioned that you're band's heyday was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Sort of. Can you describe your band and the scene you were part of back then?
Well, I came down here to finish college in 72, and I've been here pretty much ever since. Late 70s, I got involved with some people, and then in spring of 81, we officially started Red's Band, and my friend Neil, who still plays with me when we do the classic rock thing. And then we had different drummers over the years. But it was just three of us. And we just, well, initially he wasn't the bass player, but he's been the bass player since 82. So
Neil?
Another friend of mine, Dave, and another drummer, Scott Rumsey. I think he's in Texas now. I think he was from Ames. So we just started doing that, and it just kind of, you know, kept going. People loved it, and we just kept playing around, you know, local Thumbs Up and Dugan's Deli and Maintenance Shop and things like that. So
Thumbs Up?
When Thumbs Up used to be on Welch, they had a, I can't think what's in there now, but just right there, just south of Lincoln Way.
Okay, and Dugan's Deli?
Dugan's Deli on West Street. It's now
right.
Mother's Pub,
right.
Which, we're going to have a big thing for Neil, hopefully he's not listening, in July. It's his 60th birthday, so.
Okay.
Some of us other musicians have July birthdays, so we're going to have a big music party, so.
And, the 80s, when I hear, my husband talk about the 80s, it sounds almost like that's when the 60s and 70s hit Ames.
Well, that could be. We seemed to get, we were very popular, and it was great, to have that feedback with the audience, and,
You were playing tunes from the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah, mostly 60s and 70s. That's what I grew up with, and Neil grew up with, and we just liked playing that stuff, so we did, and people seemed to respond to it, so.
It can't be that, I guess.
No, we loved it. It was just, we had fun. Hopefully the audience enjoyed it, too. They seemed to.
And there were some cultural events like the Alternative Visha that you might have played at? Or?
Well, it started out, I think, in the late 60s as an alternative for people that weren't in the Greek system or weren't in the residence hall system. And it ended up being called Freak Week. And we would play an hour at the Campanile during the week, and then on Saturday we had a big finale in the Arboretum, and that was really good for a long time. I think it kind of fizzled out, but for many years it was quite an event.
Okay. Well, as a classic rock guitarist, you must find yourself imitating the masters of the genre and the best guitarists of all time. So I'm curious, what artist would you say had the most to teach you as you were imitating and learning their songs? And
well, way back before there was tablatures or CDs or anything like that, I would sit and wear out records trying to figure out what these guys were doing,
right.
Playing it over and over again. I listened to Hendrix and The Who and Cream with Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck with the Yardbirds, just Jefferson Airplane, The Doors, all the stuff that, you know, I was like a sponge just listening to it all, and pretty much self-taught. I haven't had too many lessons along the way, but just pretty much listened to records, figured it out, and had some music books to start. I think my first book was Learn to Play Like the Monkeys or something like that.
They've got a new record coming out.
They do. I saw that. But that's how I learned the notes
and
simple chords and just took it from there. And I was just, I guess I just had the desire. I just, everything I could grab. And I just, so.
And yeah. Where did that desire come from? Do you know? When did you first, the light bulb go off and I've got to do this?
I remember discovering the radio or something. We had a little transistor radio in the AM radio, I guess, with all the top 40, and you'd hear some of the British invasion bands back then, you know, The Who, The Animals, The Stones, The Kinks, all that stuff. And I just, that was like an epiphany to me. That was a whole new world, and I couldn't get enough of it. So I was hooked. I don't know where the desire came to learn guitar. I just can't remember.
And so what was your first guitar?
Well, it was a little cheap acoustic that I, you know, but I learned on that. It was easy enough to play, I guess, and then graduated to electric and just kept rolling on from there.
The American dream. Well, I know you have a song to play, but I thought just before we get to that, If you could talk about the dilemma maybe of you had this great gig going where people were responding to the classic rock songs that you were playing, the ones that you had learned by listening to the records over and over. And so you've got that. And then on the other hand, there's that, you know, impulse to take the time and discover what songs you have inside yourself and you know, compose original songs. And how do you deal with the, you know, the instant gratification of people loving your work and loving the songs that you're playing, and then the struggle of composition if you're going to try something on your own?
Well, I've written a few over the years, but it's, you know, I think as an artist you want to do that. You want to write your own work. You know, you imitate the masters, but you have to do your own sometimes. I haven't done a whole lot of that, but the ones we have put out there, people seem to like, so I need to get down and continue that, maybe get an album's worth. And
well, you said you might be working toward that, right?
Yeah,
now.
It's a good goal because, I mean, I'll keep doing it as long as my body lets me.
Oh, you look fit as a fiddle.
Well, I'm not as young as I used to
be. Fit as an electric guitar.
But, yeah, we'll keep doing it. So it would be nice to do, like, I did one with some other friends that they called themselves the Sofa Kings. We did it was all original stuff of Del Schmidt and Bill Morris and local. Del teaches at the high school. We recorded an album of their songs. But that was their songs, so
right,
I got to
right.
do mine one of these days.
Right. Well, you're so talented. You owe it to yourself. Well, let's listen to one of your original songs.
Okay. Since we're doing blues this weekend with the kind of a blues offshoot we've been doing for a few years, I'll play this one. It's called The Healer.
I'm the healer, baby. Let me lay my hands on you. I'm the healer, baby. Let me lay my hands on you. I'll make you feel all right. Yeah, that's what I do. I ain't got no potion, got no black cat bone. ain't got no mojo, got no black cat bone. One touch from me and all your troubles will be gone. In the winter, spring, and summer, or even in the fall. In the winter, spring, and summer, or even in the fall. If you need some healing, baby, you know who to call. I'm the healer, baby. Let me lay my hands on you. I'm the healer, baby. Let me lay my hands on you. I'll make you feel alright. Yeah, that's what I do. I'll make you feel alright. Yeah, that's what I do. I'll make you feel alright. Yeah, that's what I do.
Thank you. Kind of an abbreviated version.
Oh, really? You had more verses than that?
Well, yeah, a couple more, and then you get solos and all that jazz, and you got a whole band. But
yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, thank you so much. Larry Stoltenberg, otherwise known as Red, whose band Red's Blues will be playing here at KHOI on Friday evening, 5 to 8. You've got 3 hours there. Are you going to fill that whole time or take some breaks?
Well, we hope so. We've got three sets ready to go, and we've got Steve Carter on bass. He works at Iowa State with me. Jordan Veach on drums. He's a really good drummer. I think Jonah can attest to that. John Lambert's on blues, harp, harmonica, and who am I leaving out? Tom Eckert on guitar. So, yeah, we got a good little band of musicians. So hopefully, yeah, we got three sets ready to go. So hopefully we can.
Oh, well, that is something not to miss, I'd say.
Well, I hope we do well because they're going to paint this mural inspired by the music. So I think we better do well.
I hope they have a lot of blue paint, huh?
There you go. Yeah.
So what inspired you to shift from classic rock to the blues?
Well, we still do some of the rock stuff, but a friend of mine, a drummer from who was in Texas, who I met here in the late 80s, he was going to move back. And so we did a couple gigs with him, and there was a lot of blues in there, but then he decided not to move back. And Steve and I just kind of took that. We called up Jordan one day, and we were going to play. They wanted us to play at the Summerfest a few years ago, or Oktoberfest, I'm sorry. And so he came up, and he played like he'd always known the songs, and it was, so we just kind of kept going with that as kind of, you know, kind of an offshoot, so.
It's nice.
Yeah. Well, rock and roll's rooted in the blues anyway, you know. They say the blues had a baby and they called it rock and roll, so. Sorry about that. I meant to turn that down.
Okay.
I got a message from a secret admirer, maybe, huh?
Oh, is that the...
I'm sorry. Yeah. I meant to turn that off.
Okay. You mentioned the mural. We've got what we're calling the Doodle Squad.
That's what I've heard, yes.
Yes, headed up by our station manager, Ursula Rudenberg, who is a mural artist.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that'll be really fun for everyone. And I'm looking forward to it. So what has been, the most notable beneficial side effect of your passion for guitar? Like, what have you gotten out of this that you didn't really expect to get?
Well, sometimes we actually make money. No, it's just, I don't know, I guess everybody needs some kind of artistic expression or something, and I know I always remember a teacher that made fun of my finger painting in first grade, and I'm thinking, it's abstract. I mean, what's to make fun of? But anyway, I had a few instances like that, so I thought, well, I think my art career is gone, but I gravitated to music, and I just love it. Sometimes I can get lost in it just sitting there playing. It's just, I don't know, it's probably kept me sane because it's always there, and it's a good thing. I mean, you can take out your frustrations, you know, when you're playing live, and nobody gets hurt.
Okay.
So it's just, yeah, it's just a good thing to have.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I was looking at your fingers while you were playing that song, and I always think of guitarists needing to have, like, really long, skinny fingers, and you don't have long, skinny fingers.
I don't. I think that's – sometimes I watch some of these guys on YouTube, and they've got the really long fingers, and I think that's an advantage. I mean, you look at Hendrix. He could get his thumb halfway over the neck and use that as a bar, and I see some of these other – so that's kind of a disadvantage, I think, but
– No, you work with it, obviously. You're known as like one of the best guitarists in
the
community.
Well, thank you. I just do what I can, you know. But they are different than what I see, and a lot of them are long. Anyway, I do the best I can.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it, Joni. You've worked with Red, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jonah was, playing with some other friends of mine, and we, at this thing we have every fall with Ed's group, I sit in with them, and that's kind of how I've gotten to know Jonah, I guess, and know his mom, but we have a good time. Maybe that's the one time a year we play together, but.
Jonah DeGeest, our engineer, is also a keyboardist.
He's a real fine keyboardist, yeah.
So what was that like for you, Jonah, playing with those guys?
Really awesome. Yeah, Red plays some pretty crazy solos. He's pretty modest about it, though.
That's true.
I saw Jordan downtown once, and he talked about doing Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb, and I said, yeah, we could do that. So we worked it up. I think the first time we played it, we had just rehearsed it the night before, but it was probably
the best time we ever played it.
probably the best time I ever played it. And I was so overcome with emotion at the end of that. I don't know what the deal that was, but I just about broke down in tears. It just,
wow.
But it was, it's something. I showed him that little part that the keyboard is kind of a faux string part in the background, and it just made the song, and it was really something. And we did it last year, too. We'll probably keep doing it if we do that every year. But, it's quite a song. You can throw a lot of emotion into it.
You know, you've been around and playing throughout history, like recent history.
My history here.
Yeah. So have you gotten involved where you've used your music in a political way or, to get out your frustrations maybe on a larger social level about what's going on in the world and stuff?
Years ago, I know we did a rally opposing some of the policies of the first Bush administration. And I know Ed always says they probably have a file on all of us somewhere, but it was, it's a peaceful protest. We just played music as part of some kind of rally there. We've done several benefits over the years. I remember the one that came up and said the money actually got to where it was supposed to go down in Central America. So I'm always for a benefit if it's a good cause. And so, I don't mind doing that, but not so much really political, but I guess maybe political in the sense we do benefits for good causes.
Yeah. So, well, you have another song for us?
Yeah, I think I could do one here.
Well, I'm tore down. I'm almost level with the ground. Well, I'm tore down. I'm almost level with the ground. Well, I feel like this when my baby can't be found. Well, I went to the river about to jump in. My baby showed up and said, I will tell you when. Now I'm tore down. I'm almost level with the ground. Well, I feel like this when my baby can't be found. Well, I love you, baby, with my heart and soul. A love like ours will never grow old. I love you in the morning, in the evening, too. But every time you leave, I get mad with you. And I'm tore down. I'm almost level with the ground. Well, I feel like this when my baby can't be found. Well, I'm down. I'm almost level with the ground. Well, I'm tore down, I'm almost level with the ground. Well, I feel like this when my baby can't be found. Well, I love you, baby, with all my might. A love like mine is out of sight. I lie for you if you want me to. I really don't believe our love is true. So I'm tore down, I'm almost level with the ground. Well, I feel like this when my baby can't be found. Well, I feel like this when my baby can't be found.
Yay! I've heard that before. Whose song is that?
I think Freddie King did that originally. Freddie King, great guitarist out of Texas. A lot of good guitarists out of Texas. Johnny Winter, Freddie King, Billy Gibbons. There's probably a lot of them out of there. I can't remember, but yeah.
More recently, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Well, Stevie Ray, of course. Why am I forgetting that one? Stevie Ray, his brother Jimmy. Yeah, a lot of good guitars come out of Texas.
The Dixie Chicks. No.
Well, yeah, I mean, they play a little guitar. I think T-Bone Walker, an old blues guy, I think was out of Texas. Anyway, they produce some good musicians.
Who is that swing guy? The Texas Playboys?
Oh, Bob Wills. Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, Texas Swing, yeah. Yeah.
And your friend, what's his name? Your friend who's still in Texas never came up.
Oh, yeah, John Hahn. He's a really good drummer. He's down there playing music professionally, and that was his goal, I guess. He went down in 95, and he's been down there pretty much since then. He's played with Omar and the Howlers. He's played with David Grissom. He's trying to make his way, play music professionally. That was his goal, so more power to him. He's a really good drummer.
So how busy does performing keep you? How frequently are you playing around Central Iowa?
Well, this summer we've got two or three dates in June, July, August, a few in September, so a little busier than I thought we were going to be, but you know, a couple times a month is fine. I mean,
what do you do in your regular life?
Well, I work for Ames Laboratory at Iowa State. I still do that, although I'm thinking about maybe ending that next summer, maybe, you know, putting all my energies into music. But, you know, you got to earn a living.
Do you wear a lab coat or?
No, I'm an administrator for one of the divisions of the lab, so paper pusher, I guess, but just part of the administration team for one of those.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Budgets and personnel requisitions, all that stuff.
Okay.
Administrative stuff. Somebody's got to do it.
That's right. Thank you so much for coming by today.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. Thank you. Appreciate the kind words.
Really whet our appetites for Friday. Friday evening, 5 to 8, Larry Red Stoltenberg will be playing with his band Red's Blues here at the station KHOI Community Radio on 410 Douglas Street, right off of Main, for the Art Walk annual event where artists showcase their works and inside of the various businesses. So everybody wins, and we're looking forward to it. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I've been your host, Greta Anderson. I was joined in the studio by interns Isaac Beal, who reported on Monday's Memorial Day ceremony, and Zach Neuendorf, reporting on Art Walk this coming Friday. You guys did a great job, and we expect more good stuff from you this summer. This show will air again at noon. Please note that during the regular Local Talk slot at 7 p.m., we will be airing a debate held last week by the League of Women Voters between the two Democratic candidates for Story County Supervisor who are facing off this coming Tuesday in the primary election. The League of Women Voters Supervisor debate is already online on our webpage, so you can check it out that way as well. If you haven't already, it's time to do your homework on this local race, as well as the statewide competition for the opportunity to face Senator Chuck Grassley in the November election for Senate, U.S. Senate. Speaking of our website, this show will be posted on our website later today, thanks to our webmaster, Ron Carson, who also helped today with sound engineering. Just go to khoifm.org That's KHOIFM.org. We'll also post information about the stories we did, such as links to the artists to be encountered on Art Walk. And while you're there, don't neglect the donate button. It's easy to become a member, and it's so important for this station to survive that we have your support. Local Talk was engineered by Jonah DeGeest. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music we heard was by Red Stoltenberg, who will be playing once again at KHOI during Art Walk this Friday evening, June 3rd. As always, dear listener, it is your participation as audience and your generous contributions that make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.